What's up, everybody? It's your friend Isaac from Big Bike BMX, and I've got Craig. We're going to do something fun, though, because I love when Craig does these, what do you call them, man? Bumpers? I would say like radio bumpers. I like to throw Craig off.
They can be radio bumpers. I don't know, man. They're just intros.
I like to hear Craig do his, basically his like radio voice to do an intro. So every time we
is that what you're calling it, a radio voice? I don't even think that I qualify for that, but I'll give it a try. You want a big bike BMX intro, or you want an Isaac intro? What do you want?
No, dude, just do it like a big bike BMX, like if it was on the radio.
You got it.
You know what I mean? You know how like the DJ talks over the front of the song?
Yo.
Dude, they used to piss me off so hard.
I hope it has enough like lead time into the song so I can do a proper intro.
I think you will. But dude, I used to get so mad when the radio dude, like the guy would like talk over the song, because then like you're trying to record it to make a mixtape, and then you got some dude like talking about like, make sure you go out to the car wash, we've got you can meet so and so, and you're like,
dude, don't talk over the song, I'm trying to make a mixtape, bro.
Right, dude, be like, I'm trying to make this for a special lady friend of mine in the fourth grade. Okay, right here we go.
Yo, check it out, everybody, it's Big Bike BMX. You know what time it is. I think I do that for everyone. Sorry. I love the song.
I'm trying to figure out a name. I am a two boom stick. I'm a two. What? I am a two boom. All right. I don't think I
had it in me with that, dude. I got one more. Okay. Man, I remember that song though. Can I open my eyes yet?
No, dude. No.
Oh, man, that's killing me.
Dude, this is probably one of my favorite bass songs of all times. Hold on. But I'm going to find the good one. Hold on.
All right. Yeah, get the good one, dude. Nothing but the best for me.
Okay, here we go.
Wow.
Oh, boy. Welcome back to Big Bike BMX. If your posse's on Broadway, Big Bike BMX is ready to go. What's up?
So a little bit longer intro.
Yeah. Well, okay. Here we go. No. We got one more.
We got one more.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. This is the actual one. So I'll just give you like this one, because this one.
Same song.
Are you gonna do the intro or no?
It's too short. It's too short from the intro.
All right, you do yours, dude. You do yours.
All right, hold on. Okay. Stop.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's me, your best friend, Isaac, coming to you from B93.3 out here in Lodi, California. Guess what? We have an awesome show for you tonight. Big Bike BMX Podcast. Get ready. Here we go.
Nailed it, Craig. Damn it.
All right.
That was on point, bro. That was on point. No, that was good. Man. That was way better.
I tried to do the what's up, everybody.
I liked it, man. That was good. And
I'm not
and,
quitting my day job, dude.
Well, you should. And you should become a DJ, because you can make $8.
Oof.
I made no money being a stunt boy. They paid me in concert tickets.
Really? What was the best concert you went to?
Oh, easy. Depeche Mode.
Really?
Yeah, Depeche Mode at, it was an outdoor arena that was up close, like by Davis, maybe like up past Sacramento.
Nice.
It was like, okay, dude. So, Arco Arena, it was up past Arco Arena, but it was dope, dude, because they gave me like 20 tickets. They just didn't give them all away. And so I literally was calling everybody I know, like, hey, you want to go to Depeche Mode tonight? They're like, I don't even like Depeche Mode. I'm like, get in the car. Let's go. I took everybody.
Did you end up scalping any in the parking lot or giving?
No, dude. I filled up like three cars with 20 people. That's how we rolled. dude. Like back in the day, it didn't matter. You were just like, safety was out the window. I was a kid, man.
Did you goth out for that? Did you get in all black and have some like, you know, combat boots on or anything?
No. And dude, Depeche Mode is one of my favorite bands. I love like that 80s like new wave Euro sound, but I didn't buy all the, I didn't like, I personally wasn't emo. Like I didn't sit around writing poetry and wear makeup or anything like that.
Right.
I just like to like, I thought the goth, like, cause it wasn't even really goth back then, dude, but yeah. The new wave girls were way cool, dude. They were super dope to hang out with. So I'm opening up Facebook real quick because you posted a question on your Facebook.
I sure did.
I got to look.
Yeah. I basically, I just posted something. I was like, you know what, dude, we've been asking and we've got some feedback and we've worked some questions into the show. But you know, one of the things was like, we wanted to do almost like a magazine format. And you and I have been talking about this for a while. And I was like, dude, this is a great idea, man. Let's get the listeners involved. Let's do it kind of like, you know, a letter to the editor of say BMX Action or BMX Plus Freestyling. And we got some decent responses.
Yep. Yeah, dude, I was really surprised. Like, so we've been asking people like, hey man, send a DM. We'll answer your questions on the podcast. And to be honest with you, dude, I end up just answering them in my DM because I forget. So if someone's like, hey, they'll ask me a question. I'll forget that this is probably for the show and I'll just answer it. So like it never makes it on the show.
It makes it easier just to answer their DM. Cause what are you going to say? Like, hey bro, that's a great question. I'll bring it up on the show. Just, you know, tune in and find out.
Yeah. I forget to bring it up. So then I just figure like, man, I'm just like, I'll answer questions. All right. So, let's just go down the list. I'll ask you the first one and then we'll both answer the question, but you answer I'll mention the first question. I'm just going to go down in order and then you answer
together. And so are we going to read names? I think we should.
Yeah. I'm going to read names. Here we go.
All right.
Derek Williston. Should I put a front brake and gyro on my 26 or 29 inch BMX bike? Craig, what say you?
100%. Yes. Isaac, really a boy. It, for me, it's like, if that's the way you ride and you want that on your bike, you know, you want to be able to spin those bars. You want a front brake for doing front end tricks, maneuvers, absolutely 100% go for it. It kind of leaves a little bit out. I need to know a little bit more. It's like, okay, what bike? Cause you know, and I know, and you know, talking with RL and guys who have been trying to add that front brake, it's not as easy as just saying you want to do it, right? There's so many more things that go with it. Can I find a front brake? What front brake to use? Is this a cable brake? Is it a hydraulic brake? Do your forks, do you have the means of putting a brake on your forks, right? So what kind of bike do you have? The fact that he said it was a 26-29, yeah, you might have some challenges, but just simply asking the question, should I? Yeah, why not?
Yep. I 100% agree with you. But I also, you guys understand, I come from a flatland background. So a front brake is essential to the fun that I have on a bike. If you grew up racing and you just want to, you know, like cruise around, you didn't have a front brake before. No, man, roll how you want. But I personally like to have a front brake because I like to do tail whips, endos, and all that kind of stuff. So the challenge though is unless you have a bike that comes with a front disc brake, and dude, I've noticed that I'm mostly just buying front brake bikes now. The PK Ripper, hydraulic front brake, the Fat Quad, hydraulic front brake.
Yeah.
My big flyer, I don't have anything on my big Ripper, the original bike. I had to buy a Diacomp boomerang plate, which then you bolt through the little hole on top of your forks above the tire. And then you zip tie that to the forks to make it stiff. And then you bolt on some 990s. Now, that's also what I'm doing on my 26 inch master. I will tell you this, the brakes do not work very well with the, I don't think I get any decent type of stopping power. Now,
okay, I'm going to need two things from you right now.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a listener, and I'm wondering, you know, if I'm asking this question, should I add this brake? The answer from you and I is across the board, yes.
Yes.
You just mentioned two things I need a little more clarification.
Yeah.
You talked about, you know, there, you know, there, if I'm going to go outside and look at my forks, like you just said, and there's a mm-hmm. little hole on the tube, right? Okay. I've got that. Cool. So what are you talking about when you say boomerang plate? So, I mean, some folks may not know. If you haven't been around bikes a lot and you didn't come yep. from a freestyle background from like the 80s and whatever, tell us about
solid, that. Solid point, Craig. Thanks for bringing that up. So the, if you think back about the like the 990 style brake that you that we all had when we were growing up, they probably had welded on posts on the fork. The big bikes, nobody has done this yet. SE did a limited edition run of them. I saw them on Planet BMX, but I didn't pick one up. But I did see them there. So there are landing gear forks out there. A small amount of them that have the posts on the fork. So if your bike doesn't have that, then you can buy what's called a Diacomp boomerang plate. And that is a plate that has the bolted or has the welded on posts your 990 will attach to on the front of your bike. That's how you end up doing it. The old school way. Here's asterisk through all this. If you've got one to work really well, let me know what you did and how you did it, because I did it on the Big Ripper. I was able to do tail whips, endos, not so much. It would just, you just kind of slide, right?
Yeah.
On the Haro, same kind of thing. It's not really doing very, it doesn't stop. It's more of like a quick slow down. I swapped out the brake pads. I have some cool, the white Cool Stop BMX pads. You sent them to me. Thank you for that. Yep. I have those on there. Still not stopping very well. So, now again, and an extra caveat, my rims are not chrome. Chrome rims, if you remember back in the day, if you had like some HP 48 from Peregrine, those are chrome. And chrome, because grip. Of that polish, man, it just grips.
Super
but on great. these brushed aluminum rims that come on most big bikes, specifically on my Haro and on my Big Ripper,
yeah,
it's dude. More. It's a suggestion that it tries to stop. It's not really going to stop.
RL was, he's building up that 26-inch Haro Master, right? That,
yep.
that new one he got.
Yep.
And one of his biggest things is the brakes. He wants brakes that. You know, he barely has to squeeze, not a lot of pressure, but he wants those things to like stop on a dime. He wants yep. super grip and super stopping power. So
he just uploaded a video of him riding it today. And I have not watched the full video. I watched like 10 minutes. But he says I texted him and asked him, like, dude, how the brakes work. And he said they work well. But he's also using a Haro fork that has the 990. Posts welded on, not the boomerang plate. So there's that. But gyro, I haven't run a gyro on a big bike yet. I know that like Dyno, GT, they come with gyro tabs, holes for the gyro tabs.
Right.
SEs
right.
do not. And SEs have like internally threaded headsets on the, yep. the good ones. Yep. So I wouldn't even know how to get the bottom plate on. Without tapping your frame, without tapping those holes, I wouldn't even know how to get the bottom gyro plate on a big bike. So,
yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
Definitely would be a challenge. You know, one of the things, and that was a great question from Derek Williston. There was a follow up in that thread where
I saw that.
Rod M. Kugler, hope I said that right, was asking about. Well, okay, so. The question was front brakes on your 2629. What about a free coaster? What do you think about that?
And dude,
thanks, Rob, for the question. That was a great question.
Okay. So if you're going to go with a free coaster, man, the modern free coasters are dope. I haven't ridden one, but I've researched them. They're not the same free coasters that we had as kids with like all that slop where it was like half a rotation before it engages again. I think it really depends on how much you want to have that quick engagement for like, you know, wheelies and stuff like that, because you know, the free coaster may affect that. I know Profile, I didn't even know Profile made one. RL has a Profile Z coaster on his, I think is what they call it. I haven't talked to him personally yet to find out after he's ridden the bike if he likes it, but it sounds like he does. And so I would say, dude, I mean, I never rode a free coaster as a kid, man. If I was going backwards, I was pedaling backwards. But I have noticed trying to roll backwards on a big bike, because you have to lean back over the back tire in order to maintain that balance. If not, dude, it's really sketchy. And so it's hard to lean back and pedal on a big bike. So I would say, you know, if you want to go, if you're going to invest and get all the rest of it, man, just go with the free coaster too. Why not go all in?
Yeah. I'm the same way with you. I'm in the same boat. I've never ridden one. So I can't tell you about if they're good, not good, but you know, seeing RL, like you said, put it on his big bike.
Yep.
I'm intrigued. I want to try it. I want to get one. So
BSD, I heard BSD makes a really good one too. BSD I was looking at both of those.
So let's move on. Derek Williston
again.
Derek was killing it on this thread. He asks, and I'll read this to you, Isaac, is getting a cheap big BMX bike okay? And he gives an example: Walmart Hyperjet Fuel 26 inch BMX for $168, for example. So you've seen those hyper bikes that came out, right? The Jet Fuel.
Yeah, dude, these are blowing up the forums. Everyone's talking about them.
So, yep. I mean, got $168 price point bike, big box retailer has them at the store. What do you say about that?
Okay. Glad you asked. Derek, great question. So I, as far as looks, the hyper bike looks great. I know Scotty Kramer like has a his own signature hyper bike, strong bike. This is not the same quality as the one Scotty's riding.
Okay.
So it's a high tensile steel bike, which means Derek, if you're going to get this bike, please just pedal it. Don't go off. You're going to get a BMX bike, right? And your brain is going to go, it's a BMX bike. It feels like a BMX bike, but don't jump it. Don't wheelie it. Don't, because high tensile on a 20 inch is kind of fragile. But when you take the proportion of a big bike, a 26 inch, and you add all that distance and travel in the fork, say, when you come down off of a wheelie, there's a lot more inertia. There's a lot more stress on that bike. And I think people are going to wheelie them. And I think you're going to see kids, people, general public getting hurt because I think they're going to snap those frames.
Okay. That's exactly what I was thinking, but let's throw this into the mix, and we'll throw this as, aside from getting hurt, which is a big deal.
Okay, huge
I'm
deal.
I'm not trying to minimize that.
Sure.
But let's look at the price point. Okay. So if you're just going to get this bike and you're going to cruise around and you bend the forks or you do something, the bike falls apart, whatever, probably granted that's going to happen at some point. But with this one, it's $168.
Mm-hmm.
It's $168. And so, you know, most people spend that on a pair of pedals to fix up their bike or bottom bracket and cranks or more. But so if you're not looking at the threat of being injured, which is the biggest deal, you're right. Is this worth it? Is it worth it to go out and get a bike out of a major retailer and have, I mean, what I'm asking is like, are the expectations way too high? If you just say to yourself, I'm going to go get a bike, I just want to ride around, you know? Right now, bikes, you know, because listen, Isaac, check it out. Bikes are not easy to find anywhere. Mm-hmm. Even at Target and Walmart, people are going in. I've been in there and, you know, I've just seen empty racks. And the only thing that's up there is like a little 18 incher with a white basket and flowers on it, you know?
Sure.
Could this get somebody at least outside and riding?
Yeah, dude.
And find a big bike.
This is what I would call that bike. It's a gateway bike.
Nice. Yeah.
It's a gateway bike. So, you know, If you're curious about what a big bike feels like and you're willing to, if you want to invest like, you know, under $200 get the bike, ride it, see if you like it, see if you like the size, and that's about it. But then, you know, quickly transition. It's like he even goes on later in the thread, like, hey, is it good maybe just to have it? He's like, I know the limitations, don't ride it in skate park or ramp or anything like that, but
of course
maybe give it to a homie if you want to go riding with a friend, you know, because like at that point, like, it, you know, if one of my good friends from work or something comes over and we're like, hey, let's go on a bike ride, you could throw them on the hyper. They're not going to be jumping it, but it is a good gateway to show them like how much fun you can have on a big bike. So
we'll check
in that instance. In that instance, yes.
Okay. Josh Scherzer made a comment to the comment about the hyper bike, and he brings up gateway bikes. He goes, got to be careful of gateway bikes. They lead to a lifetime of bike habits.
Truth.
Right.
Josh, you're preaching to the choir. Yeah, my garage would say yes, you are 100% fact.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. So let's see here. And Josh comes back with a question of his own. Josh Scherzer, do you guys see a time when we can create epic destination rideouts? I know we have awesome big rides now, but imagine stuff like Grand Canyon, Jamaica, Rio de Janeiro, sky's the limit. Now,
dude, I think Josh needs to plan these rideouts, man. He's got some great spots. What do you think?
Dude, okay, yes. I love the idea of this because I think as the big bike movement grows, I think you are going to see a lot of people doing like, hey man, let's go do something just nuts. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's going to happen one of two ways. You're going to have someone that's like, what's the scene? Like, I would love to go to London and ride with like those dudes over there. Or do you know where I would love to go? It's like France, because those dudes shred over there.
Right. And there's a scene there.
There's a scene. And like, even like the women over there are shredding, the dudes are shredding, the kids are shredding. That would be so much fun. So yes, I think definitely, you know, I'm not in a place, I mean, my kids are too young. I can't just, you know, fly to Rio and stuff like that. But dude, I think it would be an amazing idea. Like, you know, because here's the thing, dude, we're, you know, as people get older, man, you get to a place, you guys, and I'm speaking to the people that are, you know, that are like my age in their late 40s, you do start looking at like, you know, man, I would love to go and, you know, travel when I retire. So I could totally see like, you know, buying a fifth wheel or an Airstream and, you know, telling Brent like, hey man, we live in a trailer now, but then just traveling, dude, and seeing the world, you know, and riding in all these different spots. But I think, dude, if someone plans like a big one like that, I think it's great. In fact, I mean, you kind of see it now with what Todd Lyons is doing with the SoCal ride. It just doesn't feel like a destination to us, 'cause it's just down the road. You know what I mean? For me, it's an 8-hour drive. For you, it's 8-hour drive. So like going to LA is not that big of a deal. But for someone in New York, you know, like, man, like a 3-day, because that's not a ride out, dude. He's doing like the 3-day tour of the ocean and the beach and all. I mean, you know, you guys, if you listen to go watch the video, because we have, Todd and Matt Rickard, they talk about like how fun it was 3 days up and down, like up the coast or down the coast from LA all the way down to Hermosa, I believe it was.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great idea. I think you're seeing the waters tested now. And I think after Todd's actual spring ride out, I think you're going to start, you'll see that I think people are into it.
Yeah. I mean, look at, I'm going to shout out Weecho, SE Crew Rider. Look at him, you know, not that he's starting a scene, but he's cultivating a scene down in Puerto Rico.
He started that scene. Yeah. He didn't cultivate. He started it for sure. Well, he did.
He's definitely,
or he's exposing.
I don't want to say that there wasn't BMX and bikes in Puerto Rico before Weecho started bringing bikes. Weecho grew up there. He was riding bikes, doing wheelies, but now he's brought a big bike BMX scene down there.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's, give him all the credit in the world for making that happen. And SE as well. But, something like that, would be awesome to go overseas. I kind of feel like, you know, if they do like something like the comment said, you know, if it was like Jamaica or, you know, what is epic to you? What is epic to me? But you know, it for us, it would be, it would take travel, it would take, you know, resources and all that. So would you have, if you go to an epic destination that doesn't have a current bike life scene, I don't know, just going off what the comment said, are you just now going to have, you know, 30s to 40s to 50 year old riders down there who can afford it and not have the, you know, the scene like you would say in SoCal or NorCal or whatever? I don't know. So, I mean, I think it's a great idea. I would just like to see how it pans out.
Do it.
Do it. Let's see. So Danny Gaddis wrote in and he says,
What's up, Danny?
Yeah. What's up, Danny? Do you foresee local BMX tracks adding a big bike division in the future?
Whoa.
I mean, Danny, Danny's thinking outside the box here. So he's thinking of the future. I like that. Because right now we're seeing big bikes on dirt tracks. Actually, we're
track
seeing,
day.
We're seeing, we're seeing guys like, you know, we're seeing Zach Lewis. We're seeing Jacob Santos. We're seeing Dick Cheeseburger and
a lot of other people. Mikey went out. Mikey raced at track day. He raced his Big Ripper, right?
Yeah, he did. And you know, I'm also seeing this as something that I would like to see. I would like to see a big bike division. I mean, back in the day, it was 20 and 24 inch. You know, the 24 inch were the cruisers.
Yeah, somebody now said that. Somebody said that in the comment. They're like, they already do. It's called the cruiser class. You know, but I mean, is it? Am I being an elitist by going like that's not a big bike?
Well, for the time it was, right?
For sure. It's still a big bike. If you jump off of a 20 and jump on a 24, it's a big bike.
Absolutely. Yeah. But
Do I think USA BMX is going to recognize it and put in like a full like big bike class? Man, I hope they do. If not, if you're a track operator, you know, and you listen to our show or you know a track operator, man, try it, dude. You know what I mean? Like I know plenty of dudes. Like, you know, you got like Rick from the PK 27.5 page, Ed LaCourte, I hope I'm saying it right. Ed LaCourte. I just call him Ed. Mm-hmm. But like a lot of those guys, like they built some sick bikes, dude, like some like hardcore race BMX bikes. If you look at their PKs, dude, they went all out profile, you know, bottom bracket hubs and all that stuff. I think it would be dope to see big BMX on a racetrack. I think dude, sky's the limit, man. I think why not? I really hope it does because I think it just adds another dimension to this sport that I love and these bikes that I love.
Well, one of the comments was like, big bikes are not that track friendly. One of the follow-up comments, and it was like, okay, well, how big? I mean, Isaac, would you say a 27.5 would be more something that you think would be recognized and have a chance at getting put into that that race category? And is 29 too big? Is that, I mean, is it just not feasible?
Okay, great. It's a great follow-up, but here's my rebuttal. And this is hard for me not to reply back then, dude. Growing up though, dude, you know what? And they still do these side hacks. Side hacks aren't track friendly either, but they still race side hacks, and which is a bike with a like a sidecar on the side of it. You guys, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. If not, but man, I love watching that stuff. Like I've recently watched a couple side hack. They did some side hack stuff at the Nationals this year. I was watching on YouTube. They're still doing it. You know, and like, it was pretty fun. Like they had people dressed up in costumes. It's almost like that Red Bull Soapbox Derby kind of a vibe. Like it's kind of a, it's a circusy type event, man, but you know what? That's not track friendly and they still do it. So, I would tell you, you know what? I bet you here's my rebuttal to that. I've seen Todd shred sheep hills on 27, 26 and 29 inch bikes. Put Zach Lewis on a 29 Big Ripper and that dude will make it track friendly. So, I would say people's skills are not at the place where it would be. The people's skills right now are not where they could, where it would be very track friendly. But, Give it time. And I think you would see, I think you'll see people learning how to jump, how to, you know, how to do that Dick Cheeseburger, like BMX float, where like you, mm-hmm. you jump, but you don't go 30 feet in the air. You just kind of, it's almost like he bunny hops the doubles because he's going so fast. But dude, I think, why not, man? Yeah. Yeah. I think there will be, I think you'll see a big bike division at some point. I don't think it'll be like this next year or two, but if the trajectory of bike life, big bikes, keeps going in the direction that it's going, where they're outselling 20s at a lot of shops, I think track people will start realizing it, see that there's an opportunity for more revenue. And that's really what makes that happen. Great question. Nice. Great question. Let's see. Mike Fulmer. Love Mike.
Shout out, Mike.
Shout out. Yeah, Mike. Mike's been a big fan for a long time. If Craig, if you could build up an old school 26 inch, what would it be? And I knew you'd love that question.
Well, it's kind of an, and thanks Mike for a great question. So the first thing that I'm going to tell you is that I'm trying to put old school and 26 inch together, and it's not clicking with me. So what I'm thinking is, like, is he asking if we could build a 26 inch old school bike up to a 26 inch, what would it be?
Yeah. That's why I'm reading it like this. If you could take one of your favorite old school bikes, wave a magic wand, and it would be a 26. What would you make into a 26?
Yeah, I have to say, dude, I think I'm living that right now, because one of my favorite 26 inch bikes that I currently ride is based on an older bike, the Haro Master. You know, I really like that. If I really got to choose, just made a wish list, you know, I'd love to have a 26 inch Haro Trickstar, or excuse me, a 26 inch Trickstar by Hutch. But, you know, I would love to build up a bike from like my childhood, you know. I'd love a freestyle. I'd love to build one of those freestyle bikes up. I think the Trickstar, yeah. I'd put it on the top of my list. I've never owned a Trickstar. So it's like, dude, what, that would be awesome if I get in a 26.
Trickstar would be dope, dude. Yeah.
I think it would.
I definitely would. I've talked, this will be no surprise to you. I don't know if I mentioned it on the air. Well, first and foremost, like, I think, I'm currently riding two of my like goat bikes, you know, a PK Ripper, you know, just a 27. I'm riding the, a quad angle, which I always wanted. 26, and I have my Haro Master 26. So I have those. If I were just to do the what's not made, because I've read his question is like, what would you make that's not made right now, readily available?
Right.
A Hutch Trickstar would be dope. Just because I never owned one either. And I was like, dude, that would be a dope bike. But my final answer would be, I'm still thinking of how this could be done, but I want an Ozone. You know what I'm going to say, an Ozone Method 1, 100%. I've even talked about, like, you guys, I've tried to get Rick Molinterno to come on the show multiple times. And then when he wasn't that interested in coming on, when I hit him up, I was like, Craig, you hit him up. Maybe he'll answer you. I've tried to get Rick Molinterno on the show because I want to ask him about the custom bike building aspect of what he does. I love standard. I used to have a standard shorty, and loved it. I think standard is a dope brand, you know, but I know that you can hit him up, and I know he's made a custom Trickstar before. I've seen it on the museum. And I think it would be a fun challenge to have a double top tube, 26. I would do a lot of what you hear RL talking about. I'd want a steeper head tube angle. But the problem is, dude, I don't know enough about BMX geometry in a big bike. So I know I would want I definitely want a fork that can fit a front peg and has 990s or preferably a disc brake. But man, I would love to have an ozone method. Excuse me, an ozone method one. I would I even want one of the colonies, dude. So if anybody has, if anybody knows where I can get a colony, Oz one, or what do they call it?
Yeah, that's it.
Oz one.
It's a colony. Yeah. Oz one. Yeah.
Yeah. If anybody knows where someone has one, let me know.
The thing is too, it's like, if I were to do that, the 26, I wouldn't want, and I don't want to put down anything that has to do with BMX racing, but if I'm going to build up an old school bike into a 26, I want it to be a freestyle platform. I want a freestyle bike, you know? So, I mean, like,
maybe okay, for dude, instance,
Skyway makes it
like the GT with the S curve in it. That would be dope. Like the World Tour. Remember the GT World Tour with that, like, S down to, that would be dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wouldn't pay for it.
Okay. So let me get you. what are your thoughts on like the Skyway TA, the bigger Skyway TAs? They have a 24 inch. Would you want to see that in a 26?
No, no.
Yeah.
But okay. So what did I send you a picture of? Was that the 24 or is it a 26 TA? I sent you pictures of one that was 24. At Phoenix Bike Company. The blades on the fork, dude, are so, they're like that oval in a weird way. Like, I'm just not into that teardrop tube. And so it doesn't really look, I'm very much into like, let me look at how this bike feels when I'm riding it, dude. And it just doesn't look strong. And it's no dig. That's not a dig on Skyway at all, you guys. But I owned a Street Beat for a long time. But dude, I just couldn't, I don't know. I would feel like it's flimsy. And I don't mean that in any kind of a diss, but when you look at the bike, that teardrop tubing just doesn't look strong enough to me. So that's I would be like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. So, we've got Jeff, Mugnani. I know I'm butchering his name. I'm sorry, Jeff. It's
Mugnani, it's,
Mugnani, something like that. Okay.
Yeah.
So Jeff, we apologize, about the name, but, he says, to me, the big bike movement seems to be just the beginning, and riders are figuring out tricks beyond wheelies. Do you think there comes a time when competitions become a reality, or will it just remain more of a lifestyle? This is a great question, Isaac. I mean, we definitely have brought this up in roundabout ways about will bike life end up being sanctioned to be competitive?
I would. Okay. Well, first and foremost, I don't know how you would do that. Trying to figure out how you would sanction this. Like if people are doing you guys understand back in the day, you know, we did tricks, we did flatland tricks. There was difficulty to that. It was easy to judge, you know, how hard a trick was. And so, you know, the judges could give you points here and there for different, you know, how hard a trick was.
Right.
But I can tell you that it was also the downfall as soon as it became like a competition, because then it did take a lot of the fun out of it, because, I'm a competitive person and I wanted to win all the time. And it kind of robbed me of the fun that I had of freestyling. And when I quit doing contests when I quit doing contests, I started having fun again. And so I think at this stage, I mean, I don't know how you would judge it. I mean, you could judge like the wheelie tricks, like the knee knockers and stuff like that. But like, I don't know how you would really, you know, rate who had like, I mean, with a wheelie, you can go, okay, who rode the longest wheelie, who had the smoothest knee knocks and things like that, dude. So, I mean, I guess you could get some judges and do a competition, but I don't think the sport would benefit from it yet.
Well, that's a good point, and that's a good way to say it, like benefit from it yet. And the way I'm thinking is they could come up with some type of point system, rating system, whatever, right? To if that's the way it was going to go. But here's how I'm my perspective on it as well. I think it's in its purest form, bike life isn't a sanctioned sport. It's like you mentioned, it would make it so structured, you'd take away the spirit of it. You know what I mean? And you could have a factory, okay, we're going to have a competition and we're going to do this. And if, you know, I've been on rideouts where they have like wheelie games, you know, they have prizes or they have cash and it's, you know, different little events and it's just very non-formal. It's whoever wants to do it. You know, there's no sign up. There's no, you're not putting numbers on your back or, you know, whatever. But you know, you're right. It, you know, there's a different element. There's a different, feeling to it when you make it, when you sanction it, when you make it competitive. And would that kill the spirit of what we call bike life? You know, that's really the question. However, the other side of the coin with me is this, Isaac. If you were to do something like that, and the folks and the riders that want to be involved with a competitive side of bike life, you're giving them now opportunity to progress, to gain sponsorship, maybe to win, you know, something monetarily, and get more recognition or get out there and compete. And if you're a competitive person, then you can put that out on that scale and show your skills and be competitive. So would I want to see it? I would say maybe in the future, maybe that's something, if it came about, I'd have to see what it looks like, how it's designed, how it's put out there for everyone to either participate with or not. But right now I just love the freedoms, the spirit of bike life being what it is, very organic and very non, linear, I guess you mm-hmm. can say.
Here's my, and I'll just quickly, I'll end my answer on this. Right now there's no ranking system. So everybody it's an equal playing field. You know, like I don't have to do seat knee knocker tricks to be part of this community. You don't have to do endos and tail whips to be part of this community. But the minute you introduce those things, now we start ranking people, and it can easily exclude and makes it just so easy for people to quit. Like, oh, I'm never going to be good enough. I'm not, because now you have someone, you know, someone can look at, I'll never be as good as Jacob Santos, but I'm as good as Isaac, for example. If I'm looking up at Jacob, I'm like, okay, I'm never going to bunny hop up a picnic bench.
Right.
I can still be the best version of Isaac that I can possibly be and still have fun and still gain acceptance. But the minute you start making it competitive, then it's like, okay, well those people, like the pros, and then you're like, I'm not very good. I'm just like a dude. You know what I mean?
So you're setting up divisions. You're separation.
You're putting a line, you're drawing a line in the sand. Yeah. And I've just seen it. The AFA killed freestyle. I saw the X Games. It killed that because now you're showcasing like almost, you know, these unattainable, it's not attainable to the average person. And so if I can't go and do, triple tail whip backflip flares, then I don't even want to be in, you know, like why even do this? But right now it's like anybody can pick up a bike. Anyone can show up at the corner of, you know, First and Main, and everyone can go ride with a bunch of people they don't know and still feel the familyness in the bike life movement. But man, as soon as you start the other stuff, dude, I think it kills it.
Well, that's a good, opinion. I mean, you bring up a good point because, and I'll just throw this at you real quick too, because you brought up X Games. X Games is wildly popular with BMX. You've got X Game Park, you have Big Ramp, you have Dirt Jump. The guys who are involved with that, you know, super top elite pros in BMX, and, you know, that I don't think that stops kids from thinking like, I can't be them, so I don't want to ride. You know, like, I get your point, but I also see like it also brings attention to the sport. A lot of kids will be like, maybe I do want to, you know, I want to ride like that guy, whatever. Cause when I go down the skate park, man, I see tons of kids riding, doing the same type of tricks, doing the same type of maneuvers that I see on X Games or I see in competition. And I think anytime that you can elevate a sport to where you're bringing attention to it, you're bringing awareness, you're setting up, you know, kids to have like role models or heroes in the sport that they want to be a part of. It gives them a target to aim at. And yes, obviously there's going to be like, you know, some kids that are not going to potentially reach that level, but it also gives them, you know, some type of guidance, or at least, you know, a direction to go in. So I definitely see your point, as far as where you're coming from. And then, you know, also thinking like, yeah, X Games and all that, it does have a purpose. It does have some benefit, but I definitely see where you're coming from. So let's go back to the comments. Isaac, you want to read the next one out?
Yeah, it's dude, I don't know if I'm saying your name right here. Jeep. I say when I read it, it's G Pass. I don't know. G Pass.
Yeah, sounds right to
me. G-E-E-P-A-S, G Pass.
Yep.
And bro, thanks for, you always comment on everything, and I really appreciate it, dude. Thanks for watching and being part of Bike Life. Dude, love that guy. But he's actually asking you. He tagged you, but I think he's tagging you because you replied. He hit reply. Thoughts on kids swerving in front of cars at rideouts?
Oh boy.
Here we go.
You want me to take this one?
Yeah, because I'm not going to, I won't talk long. We've already talked this to death, but we won't talk long.
We talked about it. So GPass, great question. It seems to be one of the hottest topics out there. If you're asking me, or if you're asking Isaac and I'm going to start this out 100%. I am not down with swerving cars. I have kids. I'm a dad. If I wouldn't let my kids, or wouldn't want my kids to be taking that type of risk, why would I promote it or back it for anybody else? I 100% don't believe in it. I believe in negative consequences. And I also believe in, just because you do something 10, 20, 100 times without having anything, quote, air quote, happen to you or having negative consequences, it's a law of averages. And not only are you going to, you know, catch up with those averages and have an accident or cause injury to yourself, but you are putting others at risk too. I don't believe in it. I've been on rideouts, and when kids are out swerving on the other side of the road, I don't just watch and shake my head. I say something. That's me. That's the way I do things. You know, most kids, you know, look at me like, shut up, whatever. But I'm not into it. And if I see a video with kids swerving cars and stuff like that, I just scroll right past it. It makes no, to, you know, for me to take the time and effort to comment on every clip I see of a kid swerving a car, like, this is stupid. You're going to, you know, this is, you're playing a Russian roulette game here. It feels like it does nothing, but you know, I'm not with it.
I agree.
Yeah.
I hate it, dude. I'll be honest. I hate it. I hate swerving. I get people ask me all the time to, like, they'll send me a swerve video, ask me to share it. Here's my take on swerves. Swerve parking lots, have a good time, show your skills. The thing about bikes, and I say this a lot, the type of person that is attracted to learning how to master bike skills, you know, to learn to swerve takes a lot of hours and a lot of dedication, and a lot of trial and error. And, you know, a lot of basically it's fail, 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 fail until you start to learn something. I've said this quite a bit. I think that type of mentality is that's the kind of mentality that we need to solve big problems in our world. The person, you know, like I, you know, a BMXer is going to be the person that's going to cure cancer. You know, a skateboarder is going to cure cancer. And I'll tell you why. When you look at science, you look at medicine, you look at those kind of things, you look at, experimentation, it's, you learn how not to do something. Like, you have a theory, you put that theory to the test, you fail, you don't give up, you try a new theory. You try to learn to wheelie, you don't give up, you learn to wheelie. Then you say, I want to learn to turn, And I, you know, you fail, you fall, you get up, you fall, you get up. Right. That kind of mentality, you guys, is what's going to make all, and I'm speaking to kids, because most of the time you see it's kids doing this. And everyone looks like a kid to me. So guys, that type of mentality is going to make you wealthy beyond your wildest dreams, if you're able to continue to do that, because that is the kind of mentality, that dedication, that's going to make you the best engineer in your field. It's going to make you the best doctor in your field. It's going to make you the best scientist in your field. It's going to make you the best plumber. If you want to be a plumber, you know, that's going to make you the best plumber in your field. It's the failure and refusing to quit to master your craft. That kind of mentality is what I want to see from the generation that's going to be running this world when I'm too old to do anything. And I need you to be there. And I would hate to see you end a brilliant, career ahead of you because you wanted a thrill that could be taken from you like that. So don't swerve cars, please, because I need you to cure cancer. I need you to, invent the rocket that's going to take us to Mars. And it's not going to come from, you know, some nerd. It's going to come from someone like us that refuses to give up and chases a dream. And that's the kind of stuff that BMX teaches you. So please don't swerve cars, because I need you to cure all the diseases and make a lightsaber. Because God damn it, why do we not have lightsabers yet? Right, dude, I'm 48.
Please.
I'm 48. It's like scientists aren't even trying. And a hover, like, dude, why are cars not flying yet? Jetson, dude, all the stuff that I was kind of expecting by this time in my life is just not here. There's no hoverboards that I can ride. There's no lightsabers in the Jetsons. None of that is real yet. So I'm kind of disappointed. Dustin Diaz, are you ever going to interview a spokesperson from Tracy FedEx? LOL. Kind of a funny one, but we talked about this before.
Dustin. Are we ever gonna?
Oh, dude, I'm sorry. I took your question, dude. I read it. I'm sorry, dude. But you go.
No, it's, dude, this doesn't have, this is unscripted, bro. We're good.
Yeah, you guys, I ruined the back and forth by asking.
it's all good. It's all good, dude. Go ahead. Are we ever going to interview a spokesperson?
Yeah, Greg, are we? Are we ever going to interview someone from FedEx?
But I'm telling you this right now. If we can get a hold of a spokesperson who'd be willing to talk to us and go over some of the things that we brought up about FedEx and the Tracy Hub, come on down, you know?
Okay. I'm ready. Craig, give the backstory on this one, because if you're not from California, or if you're not from the West Coast, maybe you do not understand what the Tracy Hub is, what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'll give you a little backstory, and I'll do it with my most recent experience. So I ended up buying my son a bike for Christmas, right? Ordered it from Phoenix Bike Company, and they shipped it out. Now, it was I got a tracking number. I was anticipating this bike, FedEx tracking number. And I live in Northern California, where my local FedEx hub is out of Tracy, California. So as I'm tracking this bike, Isaac, you know, I'm getting excited. Here it comes, bro. I'm like,
as soon as you say Tracy, all I can think of is like a TikTok video. Oh no. Oh no. Oh no. No.
Right. So, on the tracking, you know, I've got the app, and just like everybody else, you know, you can't wait to get your new bike in the mail, and you just want to make sure you're home when it's delivered. You can see like, okay, it left the hub. Okay. It's out in this area. Okay. Now it's out for delivery. So, you know, it's coming to your house on whatever day it says, right?
In theory.
So that's the way it's supposed to go. So the way I'm doing it is like, all right, bike's on its way. Cool. I'm home all day. I got this. Out for delivery. Wow, 9:00. It's late. Didn't come. Oh, bummer. So I update and refresh that page, and it says something basically like, okay, not out for delivery more. En route back to the hub. No problem. Things
unable to deliver. I remember this conversation. Yeah. It said unable to deliver.
So I'm like, okay, if it didn't get delivered that day, it's got to be the next day. I'm at the top of the queue now, right? Boom. So here we go again. Well, look at that update. Guess what's out for delivery again? It's my bike. Great. So looking at it. You know, 9 o'clock or so comes, no delivery. Huh. Wonder what's going on. Let me back up too. On the first day that it wasn't delivered, and this is really important. I can't believe I missed this. The FedEx truck, because I've got my eyes and ears open, right? The FedEx truck pulls up to the front of my house. And I'm like, cool, the truck's here. Gotta be my bike. They're like literally in front of my house, not in between two homes. They're like stopped. So I'm like, great. Looking out the window. The guy takes off. I'm like, oh, wonder what that was about. Second day, same thing. Truck pulls up. Guy takes off. Doesn't get out of the truck. Same truck, right? Same guy. So third day comes around, out for delivery. Great. Maybe it's today. Truck pulls up. Wait a second, dude. I'm not going to sit there and not say something now. So since the truck's out there, I open the garage door. I head out to the truck. He's starting to pull away. I'm like, yo. Yeah. And the truck stops. And I'm like, hey, bro. And I'm showing him my phone. I got a tracking number here. I got a bike I'm expecting. And the guy, you know, long story short, it's like, dude, I don't have your bike. Sorry. You know, it could be in the back.
Wait for it, you guys.
I'm not like an aggressive person, but I literally, I go, dude, is it on your delivery list? He's like, yeah, but I don't think it's back there. So he leaves me in the conversation and walks to the back of his truck from the inside, from the cab, down the back of the aisle. I step into the truck. I climb into the FedEx truck, bro. I'm now in the cab.
Not on my watch.
Yeah. I'm like, literally like, let me help you. Okay. I'm like, bro, you can't, he's got boxes. It looks like a cannon shot a ton of boxes in the back. Nothing's organized, whatever. I'm like, bro, this isn't it's not a small jewelry box, dude. This is a bike box. It will say something along the lines of GT BMX on it. Right. Yep. He's like, he's looking around. I'm like, right there, homie. There's my bike. It's like in plain sight. Like you couldn't miss it. I'm like, it's right there. Oh, hold on. Let me get that. So he gets it. And it's a big ass bike box.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, dude, I'm looking. I'm like, really?
On day three.
On day three. And he was going to drive away, Isaac. You know, regardless to say the bike box was thrashed. Okay. It's got rips in it. It's got holes, you know, things penetrated the box. Who knows? The bike could have been squished and squashed. So I'm like, hey dude, should I get into this too, Isaac? So I asked him, I go, hey bro, the box looks kind of jacked, man. I hope my bike is okay. He's like, hey man, check it out. If the bike is damaged, I'll be around the neighborhood tomorrow. Just find me and give it back to me. I go, what? Wait, I won't make a claim with FedEx online or anything like that. Insurance, blah, 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 blah. Nah, bro, just find me. I'll take the box for you. I'll send it back. Right. You're going to send it back, right? Because first of all, in my opinion, dude, it wasn't coming to my house.
Nope.
Okay. That bike wasn't. What was going on was, and when I contacted, so I contacted FedEx, bro, right before the third day. And I was like, where's my bike? And they're like, it says attempted delivery. They attempted to deliver it on the first day. You weren't there. They attempted on the second day. You weren't there. Right. And I'm like, BS. Yeah. I was waiting for that. The guy kept taking off. The third day I confronted him, asked him for the bike. And I got my bike, but now it looks like it's damaged. He told me to give it back to him. They're like, that's not what we do. We don't, the drivers won't take your shipment back. That's an insurance claim.
Yep.
Really?
So here's what basically goes on. If you have a big bike, specifically SE big bikes, they are notoriously, they notoriously disappear from the Tracy FedEx hub. And I'm not going to say the word stolen. I'm not going to, they get misplaced through the Tracy hub. And in in my opinion, with zero fact, I can't prove it, but it just is, there's too many bikes that go missing in the 209 that makes me think that somebody has probably alerted somebody and said, hey, I'll give you $200 for every bike box that looks like this. And they probably end up in somebody's pickup truck, driven to LA and put up on OfferUp. That's my opinion. Just my opinion. Can't prove it. Seems pretty fishy, but that's we all talked about that because they were going almost like it was like it where normally you give a statistic like 1 in 3 bikes would go missing. One in like 3 bikes would show up.
Right.
You know, would like actually get delivered at the end. It was just
here's the thing too, Isaac. Okay, here's where it now gets to be like, at first I was like, man, I'm thinking to myself, that was sketchy.
Yeah.
I'm coming up with my own theories.
Yeah. It was a conspiracy until you experienced it.
Right. And so now I'm like, do I say something? I go on my social media. I post something up. And it was like, as soon as I did that, now I'm looking at the comments. Whoop, whoop, whoop. They're popping up, dude. That, and the comments went something like this. That happened to me too. Wow. You know what? I've not gotten 2 of my bikes. I live in the same hub location as you. I'm missing X amount of bikes. Dude, I ordered a bike 6 months ago. I still haven't received it, nor did I get any love from FedEx about where it was at, how to get it replaced. So I'm like, if it was just me, like an isolated case, you know, maybe I might be like, well, I could be tripping here. We had a delivery driver from a competitive company, like get a hold of us or at least make a comment and go, hey, dude, it's sketchy. That's wrong. You know, that, and we had a guy out from a FedEx driver out in Texas get a hold of us or somewhere, right? And he was like, nah, man, that ain't the way it works. You know? So I'm like, there definitely is some like shady stuff going on out of there. So
yeah,
to answer the question, Isaac, would we interview a spokesperson from Tracy Hub FedEx? Absolutely, 100%. If anybody's out there listening right now who's like, ah, oh, that doesn't sound cool, you know, I'm getting kind of triggered by Craig and Isaac or whatever, or at least let someone step up from FedEx and want to talk to us, bring it on. I'd love to hear it. You know, I'd love to speak to someone.
Yeah. Well, I can get a couple bike shops that have had multiple, shipments go missing of their bikes that go through there, and we can discuss it. I would love to have that conversation because we could be completely wrong, and there could be a logical reason why bikes go missing out of that place.
Yeah, 100%. I'm looking down the line here. Brian Bennett gives this question, man. He wants to know if, says, do you guys ever have any plans to interview Josh White?
I would interview Josh White. I just don't know how to get a hold of Josh White. That's all. I know he does have a big bike. I know he has a, GT has flowed him a couple bikes, I believe, or probably hooked him up on the cheap or something. I know he has a big bike and I know he has a small bike. He rides at the park. He rides at skate parks or something like that, but I would love to. You guys, we have a whole a list of like wish lists. So, I mean, everyone from Perry Kramer, I can tell you the people that have turned us down. They've said no. Woody Itzen doesn't want to come on the podcast. He wants to just listen. And you know, he's doing other things. Bikes are not in his, you know, he rides on his birthday and he leaves the past in the past. And I respect that. I reached out to Martin Aparillo. He said, no, thanks. Josh White, I haven't reached out to you. I would love to talk to Josh White. I would love to talk to just about anybody, you guys, if they were in a magazine when we were growing up, if they rode and, you know, it's one of those like, hey, remember this person? Do you know who I would love to get? Craig Grasso.
100%.
Seppi, a dream list of mine would be to get Andy and Lou, Mark Lumen and Andy Jenkins from Freestylin', John Kerr, Gork, I mean, if you know, their name from BMX, yes, I would love to talk to anybody, because you guys, I'm just like you. I want to talk to the legends of the sport when I grew up. And even if they're, you know, even if they weren't necessarily like Hall of Fame status, but like, you know, just a great rider, you know, or someone that was in the industry, I think I would love it. I just like talking about bikes with anybody. So, you know, like,
yeah. And I hope that people are listeners, and people that visit our show and take a listen to what we do. I hope, you know, one of the things I love most about all of our guests is like, yeah, when we always talk about the common thread of BMX, right? That's what brings us all together. But everybody has a cool backstory or a cool side story to bikes. It's like, it's always the bikes that put us all on the show, right? But then it's like, you've got something else going on. You have a, you know, what have you been doing over 30 years? Oh, let me tell you this. You know, there's so many like components of it that make it interesting. I would love to talk to Josh White and all the guys that you just mentioned, plus everyone on our wish list is really just, you know, we're hoping that people like it as much as we do. Cause you guys, when we go out there and we're looking for guests, right? It's like Isaac and I truly sit down and text or talk or, you know, whatever. We're just like, bro, who would you like to talk to? It really is a wish list. Yeah. And we are super honored. Like, no, I'm not even like downplaying this. When people say, yes, I'll be on the show, Isaac and I, there's something in us that reverts back to being 13, 14 years old that we're like fist pumping. Yeah.
If someone, yeah. Dude, here's the thing. Anytime Craig tells me, hey dude, we got so-and-so coming on the show. You guys, Craig plans our shows. Craig, if you have liked an interview, thank Craig, because Craig, basically schedules them, goes after, you know, reaching out and all that stuff. So anytime Craig calls me and tells me we have a new guest, it is the 100% no cap, dude. This is how I feel. When Craig calls me, I say, it's like when a BMX show used to come to your town and when your buddy used to go, hey, Ron Wilkerson and Haro team's coming to, you know, Molina's or Robbie's. You're like, no way, dude. That's the way I feel when you tell me so-and-so's coming on there. It doesn't, you know, like that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for letting me like take that role too, because you got to understand, Isaac is a 48-year-old man with a beard and a family and a job and, you know,
tattoos on his neck that say not cats,
all that, right? But when I call Isaac and I'm like, you want to hear something? And he's like, yes, I do. You ready for this? And then I lay out what guest we have coming up. Isaac is no longer that 48-year-old guy who's like composed and hold. He goes goo goo and he like gets so excited. Like, I love that part. Dude. That's like when I kick off a guest like announcement to Isaac, that's where I'm like, yep. Cause I can tell right away if Isaac's always like, oh my gosh, bro, yeah, you know? And I'm like, dude, now this is where the excitement, like the wick is lit and we're going to have fun.
You guys. So Craig and I text all day. Like we text all day. And so, I know there's a magic text that'll come and he'll go, are you sit down and call me, make sure you're sitting down. And then I know, and I'm just like, okay, hold on. I mean, I could be performing open heart surgery and I'd be like, I'll be right back. That's literally the way it goes
here. Nurse.
So, Brian, I would love to interview Josh White. I think it'd be great. Micah Fuller for you, Craig.
Yo, Micah.
Can we get an interview from CT or Bill sometime? And I believe he's referring to Craig Turner or Bill from the expensive bikes. Bassett. Yeah.
You know, I think this goes along with what we were just talking about. You know, we're really here for the experience, dude.
I'm glad you're fielding this one.
Well, yeah. I mean, go, Isaac, I'm going to throw this to you in a second. You know, it's tough to say who we can get on the show and who we can't until we reach out to them. If you know, we know there's a large group of people out there that love certain bikes, certain brands, certain styles of building bikes and dressing them up or riding them. The thing is this.
You said dressing them up.
Well, you know what I mean, bro. Don't say it.
Dressing them up with some bullseye cranks that cost
whatever you want.
$5 million.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever.
Putting the leather condoms on your bullseye pedals.
Bro, if you can do that and still feed your family, I'm down for it, bro.
I'm playing, you guys. I'm playing.
Isaac's out. He's playing. The thing is, I'll tell you this because you just told everybody what I do, and that's awesome. Because when I reach out, I don't know who's going to say yes. I know that there's listeners who are like, man, do a show on certain brands. Do a show on Bullseye Parts. Do a show on Bassett. We want to know from the owner what's going on. You know, they want to know what's behind the scenes at a particular company. It's not that we don't necessarily, one, want to get certain brands or people on the show. We just need to know from you guys, you know, send us messages, reach out to Isaac, reach out to myself, and let us know what you want to hear. And then I can take that and be like, all right, great point. I may never even thought of reaching out to someone in particular or a brand in particular. So yeah, give us that heads up. I would be down to talk to someone from, I would love to talk to Craig Turner. I would love to talk to Craig Turner. I want to know more about bike building design. What goes into, you know, coming up with a new, like Craig was involved with the Geronimo project with Airborne Vic. I'd love to know how that relationship started, how they came up with a design, who created the frame and the geometry and the specs. All that stuff is geeky nerdy to me, and I love it. Mm-hmm. But I haven't reached out to Craig yet, and I haven't reached out to Bill at Bassett. And maybe that's something I can put on my list, Isaac.
Okay.
I'm gonna give
you a backstory on mine too, but go.
Yeah, here's the thing. I'm not gonna, any ideas or any suggestions will always be taken into consideration. How about that?
Yeah.
I'm always considering content. What really boils down to is like, are those folks willing? And is it something I feel would be good for the show at that time?
Sure.
So that's how I stand with that.
Okay. Micah, great question. I love this question. One thing you need to know about me, like for me, I'm basically I'm a 12-year-old in a 48-year-old's body. Early on in our podcast, when I was still trying to reach out to people, should I tell the story?
I 100% think you should.
I won't give the full backstory. I was like, nobody knows who we are. Nobody knows who we are now. So not a lot's changed, but
not a false statement.
I am very true. We appreciate all 8 of you that tune in. I love you all. So I reached out to Chris Moeller, Mad Dog, sent him a DM on Instagram. And I was like, hey man, we do this big bike BMX show. And you guys understand, I have a huge bike crush on S&M. My flatland bike is an S&M intricate. My 20 inch that I had, when I built my 22 inch, I bought Pitchfork. I met Moeller back, when I was like 13 or 14 in Reno. And that dude was hella cool. You guys, he was the coolest dude. Dennis McCoy and Chris Moeller were the two coolest dudes I've ever met in person as a kid. Making me feel like, even though I was just like a 12-year-old scrub kid on a flatland bike, still made me feel like I was part of a big thing. Chris Moeller is dope. I reached out, asked him, hey man, I do this podcast. We like to talk about old school BMX. I would love to hear, this is when he had just announced the COVID cruiser. I was like, man, I would love to hear about your thoughts on big bikes. Cause I'm a big bike fan. I think these are dope. would you come on? And I gave him a couple of episode links so you could see, like, I'm not just some, I have talked to people in the past. And he replied, basically was just like, fuck no. there was an F bomb in there. Basically I can't handle that kind of rejection. And I was just like, okay, so that's what the American bike builder industry thinks of my podcast. And this is me being prejudiced against American bike builders, because I think they're all just going to be like, nope, because it's a very elite, like they position themselves as like elitist bespoke builders, and they don't have any kind of time or energy to put into the bike life, wheelie bike type scene. That they're all about like the let's cruise our bikes, bar hopping type stuff. Put your bullseye cranks on our $600 Technique cranks on our $2,000 frames or whatever. But you guys, I'm being kind of facetious, but I'm being, I just don't think those, dudes like, me as a person personally.
Well, so, then your response would have said, fuck you, instead of fuck no.
Right.
You know,
I mean,
I don't think
Bassett cares about the podcast. I don't think Craig Turner cares about the podcast. And here's the thing, dude, Craig Turner, like we probably have more in common than you realize. Like we're both sleeved up. We are both like that, like blue collar, kind of just gritty, get it done. I respect what he does. I just don't think he would come on the show. And here's the thing, dude. Those bikes, Gilbert, a friend of mine, who runs Copper State BMX here in Arizona, has multiple like Bassetts, loves them. Miles from a bike shop, Average Joe's here in Scottsdale, Arizona, had a Bassett in his shop, and I looked at it. I was like, this is a dope bike. So I love what they do. I just don't think they would care about our show.
Well, okay. I respect.
Did I just ruin our chances of ever getting them on the show by saying that?
No. What you're doing, Isaac, is you're being honest. And I appreciate that honesty, because yeah. I don't think anybody wants to hear, a fake response, which we don't do, but it's like your honesty may turn some people off, but it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? When I make contact, or when I call people, and if they say hell no, yeah, okay, fine. And I don't need an explanation, and I don't think you do either. Yeah, it kind of stings a little,
it stings like, a lot, man. Dude. Yeah. When your hero's like, fuck off, you're like, okay. Yeah.
But I also see it like, how would we be talking at the skate park? Hey, bro, you want to go hit this, go hit this ball? Hell no. Right. All right, cool. I'll go do it with someone else. But you know what? It's like, I'm going to move on. Thank you. If you ever are interested, we'd love to talk to you, whatever. And if it's not their wheelhouse, it's not their cup of tea. Respect. No worries. No. You're not, the only feelings I'm getting hurt is like, dude, I wanted to talk to you.
Yeah.
I wanted to chat, I wanted to chop it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But if you're not down, no ill will or hard feelings, bro. Well, maybe some hard feelings a little bit, but
I don't have any hard feelings. And here's what's funny, dude. Cause,
it's not hard feelings.
I didn't know what to say. Right. I was just like, I don't even know how to respond to that. So I was just like, I wrote literally, dude, I'll show you a screenshot. I was like, I still love you, bro. And he Moeller, dude, Moeller. He replied with the kissy emoji, like the little blowing a kiss with the little heart.
See?
Yeah.
You see? I mean,
yeah.
That just lets you know it just wasn't his thing, bro. And that's just how he responds to stuff like that.
But, you guys, I would love it.
Here's the thing, too. Here, you guys got to understand, and maybe I made the statement in another show or earlier. Isaac and I are doing this to have fun, bro. I
mean, just to have fun.
Yeah, we're having fun. We never thought anybody would stop by and hang out with us. But we wanted to have fun. And if we could do that and entertain ourselves, hopefully there's some people out there who catch on, who would give us an ear and who would enjoy it as well. Cause I figured if we're enjoying it, dude, maybe one or two people will hang out, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to keep having fun. I'm going to keep trying for guests that that Isaac and I are just like, would love to sit down with, would love to chop it up with. And we're hoping those two people that we had before are now four, you know, we just want you guys to hang out with us. And if we entertain you, awesome.
Yeah.
You know, we're stoked.
Yeah. I would like, you know, Bill, I would love to find out what your plans are for big bikes and like, and cause I saw an interview with him one time. He's like, we sponsor riders. And I was like, wait, what? I didn't know that. There's a lot about Bassett that I have no idea about. And can you imagine being Gary Turner's kid and then you grow up to be a welder? No pressure.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that dude has to have an incredible story. Like you grew up in, you know, GT, Gary Turner's your dad. Jesus.
Yeah.
Dude,
and those are the stories we, you know,
yeah,
we'd love to sit down and talk about, you know.
Yeah.
It's exactly what that is.
100%. 100%. All right. There was one more that I think we missed, dude. Oh, okay. Here we go. Christopher Baker. Here we go. This is going to take a left turn. Why is there hate on bikes made in China while utilizing most goods in our lives from there? So Chris Baker, why do people hate China bikes made in China? Probably he's talking about SE, which go like we hear this all the time. And then he throws in a dig while utilizing most goods in our lives from China, meaning like your iPhone or your Samsung.
It's one of the most brought up topics on Facebook. I've only been on Facebook like 6 months, dude. And I've noticed it's like more and more, it's like, even though I've read every discussion on it, everybody's point from left to right. Right. And somewhere in the middle, someone can just bring that question up on their feed and boom, they've got like 100 responses again and people get fired right back up. Mm-hmm. I get it. I don't know if there's an answer, but here's the thing for me, you know, and you can you and I can go a different way on this big time. Bikes are made in Taiwan. Bikes are made in China. When you're mass producing box bikes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Companies are going to go where they can get one, the best quality, and two, at the price that they need to produce these bikes at, so they can sell it to you at a certain price point. We've talked to Todd. Todd is very transparent when it comes to telling us like, hey, dude, I have to price every single nut, bolt, spring, and everything on a bike. If I want to give you guys a chance to own one of my bikes, I have to make sure they're produced where those things are affordable. And when I turn it over to a shop or you get them online from SE, it has to be something that people can afford and enjoy and be durable and have all those things that come with it. The other side of the coin is people are going to say, well, hey, dude, you're taking jobs away from people in America. You're taking, you're buying things from durable goods and services overseas when that could be done here. You're using raw materials that is from overseas when you can buy those raw materials here. So the argument is back and forth. And I don't think, Isaac, you're going to convince someone who's like USA and USA only to go, okay, well, now I understand how commerce works. Now I understand how business works with profitability and all those things that come with it. So yeah, I'm now going to wobble on the side of the fence of overseas made.
Yeah.
Then again, there's folks who say, check it out, dude. I want to be able to afford a bike. I want to do all this. And guess what? While you're complaining about the bike being made overseas online, you're using your overseas made computer, your overseas made phone. Matter of fact, what car do you drive? I mean, it just goes on and on, dude.
It's so circle, dude. Know? It's just a giant loop.
It circles so hard.
Yeah.
So I don't look. I own SE bikes. I have a USA made Mongoose in my garage, a Hutch. But I also am a customer of, and I get to choose this because I can choose what I like to ride. I can choose where it's made. You want to buy a USA bike, man, go ahead. I'm all for that. Everything made in the USA. And if you can open up that wallet and pull out $4,000 or $5,000, $6,000 to have a comparable bike that's selling for $900 retail, and you want to buy that American made bike, you have that option. There are options out there to go 100% American made, right? You're not going to get it from a big box retailer, but you're going to get a custom frame. You're going to get custom, you know, forks and bars and USA made pedals and everything else to go with it. Get ready for the price. You know, if let me ask you this, Isaac, if SE came out, this is only hypothetical and I'm only using SE as an example. If they said, we're going to produce an all American made bike, right? Every component, every bolt that Todd specs out and prices and everything. And he came up with this, call it a big ripper, 100% made in the USA, right? And then he says, and here's the kicker, guys, this bike is $6,500. Okay. And I don't think that's unreasonable. Maybe, you know, $5,500 to $6,500. What would the masses say about the price of that bike?
Yeah. Here's
right.
People do it all day long with their Bassetts. They spend that kind of coin. I mean, B Dank, I probably has close to that in some of his, like his Geronimo probably is close to $6,000.
Yep.
Do you have B Dank's number? Do you have his cell phone?
I don't.
I don't either.
I don't.
Dude, send him a DM real quick. Just send him a like on Facebook or on Instagram. Just be like, hey, dude, we're live on the show. We're not gonna like, don't call him. He's probably hanging out with his lady. But just ask him. Just be like, hey, man, how much? If he'll tell you, like, how many bikes do you have? Ask him this. How many bikes do you have that you spent at least $6,000 on? Because I people will do that. People spend lots of money on bikes. Here's my take on it.
I mean, that doesn't equate, spending money on bikes doesn't equate whether you're USA or
no,
or not made.
But that,
right?
But that's where that money's going though. You're paying for like those like, you know, crazy chill polish hubs and stuff like that from the US. But here's my take on the whole thing. Like, why do people cap on the China bikes? I think it comes from it's just a pride thing. Like there's an American pride. I'm as Hulk Hogan as the next guy. The difference being, I think, man, maybe for me, like once the internet came out, you know, and it was like kind of easy to just like once the internet happened and then, you know, commerce opened up to a global economy. I started looking at value, you know what I mean? And I'm like, for me, I love my SE bikes. I love the price point on my SE bikes. And I'll be honest, dude, like here's a perfect example. I would love to own the Haro Zoltan Master. It's a comfortable bike. I've ridden it, super easy to do flatland tricks on it. It's, $1,600, something like that. I think it's like, we'll say $1,500.
There you go.
That's $1,500 I could have spent on my kids, where for me, for some reason, mentally in my mind, $1,000 is like what I'm willing to pay for a complete bike. Also I'm not willing to, for me personally, I'm not the kind of person that's going to go and like hunt down BMX parts. I just don't care about that. I'm not trying to help somebody flip their bike parts. Because like you guys, I'm as like old school BMX as it gets, but you don't see me on the BMX museum forums because like, I'm not trying to like buy some $200 handlebars off some dude that lives in his parents' basement because he's, you know, just that's, he thinks he's flipping bikes and being a bike dealer. So dude, stuff like that just irritates me. And I don't know why it does, but it does. I know that about myself. So I'm here to have fun and ride my bike. I do not think that somebody's race makes them a better welder. I don't think your place of birth makes you a better, welder. I think doing your craft makes you a better welder. And I'll be, and this is going to be super unpopular, but you got somebody in that SE factory that's welding 500 frames. They're going to be really good. Like I'm talking like, 500 of like a PK, 500 of a flyer, 500 of a fat quad, probably going to be really good at welding versus someone that's welding like, one or two frames a day. And dude, I know that's going to trigger everybody about like who's doing stuff, but you guys, here's the thing. Quality to me is not dependent on the country of origin that the thing was made or where it was assembled or any of that stuff. Like I care about being able to ride a bike. I care about being able to trust the bike. And I care about doing it at a price where I can afford to go still do things with my kids. And for me, bikes, it's where it's made has nothing to do because I buy it from an American company. I buy it from a mom and pop bike shop where my money that I'm spending on that bike is getting pumped into the Phoenix economy. And I buy my parts locally as much as I possibly can because I want to pump money back into my local economy. I want to see kids. I want to see the local bike shop stay there and not go out of business. So all of that, dude, like, if I buy a custom bespoke frame from somebody, I'm not supporting a local bike shop. And, I want to see people like my friend Sean, like, right. I want to see him benefit from it. And, here's Todd making, cause mostly this, let's just be honest, dude, this is all fired off at Todd. Todd basically carries this on his shoulder every day. Todd Lyons from SE Bikes. And, dude, like he carries it but that dude keeps how many bike shops going, you know what I mean? Like I was watching a Scotty Kramer video the other day and it was like, they were laughing because like it was Christmas time and like how many calls for SE Bikes they were getting, Yeah. And it's like, and he for gave like a shout out. He's like, yeah, he's like, dude, he gave a shout out. Like people, that's the most popular bike. People want that bike. Well, people are buying that from like local bike shops. So it's keeping them in business, keeping American, the person who works in that bike shop, the person who owns that bike shop is an American person that has, family that they're feeding because of SE Bikes that are made in China. So,
and all those points are extremely valid. And exactly what you're saying ends up being a point of, that people are making, when they say, hey, look, local bike shop benefits, local this benefits. Then the next wave of rebuttal is this. Well, the people, and if you don't question, of course there is question, the welds this, the this, that, this, right? But Isaac, check this out. The next thing that's brought up is like, well, the person that's working in the factory, that job could be here. They want, and it's not that they, don't understand that selling a bike in the US made overseas benefits the economy locally. But now that job, the person that's sitting in a factory in Taiwan being paid to weld that bike, they want, the argument is, well, that job should be here. So it's not just about the bike or the quality. Now it's about raw goods, materials, components, and labor. That needs to be here as well. So you're right, dude. And your point is so valid. And you hear other people's contentions, and even though some might make you cringe, I don't want to say that I have to agree with anything, but it's like, okay, everybody's got a very strong opinion on it. And it's always going to be a vicious circle. It's never going to have like a consensus of agreement among everyone,
Yeah. Here's the good news about the whole thing. And this is why, I don't get too caught up in the arguments about it. Like I'll you'll see, if you see me on the forums, like I'll post, I'm mostly just kind of trying to post like one line burns because it's fun. You know what I mean? Like I'm not that passionate about it. If I'm really going to be honest with you guys, here's a good point. Like the other day, somebody was like, man, I bought these S&M bars and they were crooked. And he's like, then I got some replacements and they're crooked too. And I was looking at it, and in my mind, I'm thinking, dude, that sucks, man. I'm sorry. But there's two things going on in my mind. The first one was my China SE bars don't do that, right? And so that was my comment.
Well, dude,
so I commented that.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
Let me finish this real quick though. So I commented that. I was like, my China SE bars don't do that. And I was like, okay, that to me, I was commenting because I was like, that was my one liner. You know what I mean? I was like, hopefully someone reads that and just laughs. But then I had to follow it up with, dude, my favorite bars of all time, Peregrine Q bars. You guys, anybody that's ever ridden Peregrine Q bars, everybody that freestyled in the 80s, we all wanted these bars. Basically, like one in two kids had these bars. Not a single straight pair in the batch, dude. I swear to God, somebody like they had some dude, like a blind dude with like a lazy eye or something was welding these, dude, because they were not, I'm not talking just a little bit off, you guys. It was like way off. Like they were so, they were like, not that it wasn't like, okay, maybe they were a little bit crooked left and right. It was like left and right. And one end was up a little bit. You know what I mean? Like it was off real bad. Like they didn't have a jig. Like dude's friend held him.
What it comes down to, dude, is this, bro. If you hate like overseas made bikes, if your pedal bends, if your forks or whatever don't, if there's an issue, it's always because it was made in China, made in Taiwan, bro. It don't matter what it is. My paint has the chrome is dull here. Jet fueled frame it's not consistent with its color. It's China. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, dude, I totally know what you mean,
bro. Yeah. And damn, Todd Lyons takes the heat.
All of it.
And you know what? And I'm sure there may be others that get it from other companies, but we don't, they're not going to put that out there. You know, Todd puts it out on display and he responds, you know, that's just what it is. So I'm not trying
to get apologies
with that, but you're right, dude. I mean, it's never going to be something that you can resolve because people have their opinions. And I just appreciate, like, if you want that, if you don't mind like us, then get what you want. Right.
Here's the money.
We can buy what we want. If you want a USA made bike and then that's in your wheelhouse and you have to have it, open up your pocketbook and go buy it.
Exactly. And you took the words out of my mouth. Here's the thing. I love this country so much because we have free enterprise and we have the freedom to buy the goods and services that we want to buy. If I was so passionate that I'm like, I don't want a China bike, I could go get a Bassett. I could go get, Gary Turner. I could go get Rick Montrano bike. I could,
for sure.
There's options for me and I can go through that. It's literally just, you know, we live in an amazing chapter in our lives and we live in the best country in the world that gives us that ability to choose where we want to buy our bikes from. And so if you want an all American bike, dude, rock on, man. I will sing the Star Spangled Banner with you. You know what I mean? Riding my SE bike that was made in China. You know what I mean? Like because it's that this country gives me that ability to have a job here that I can afford to buy the bikes that I want to buy. I have an option. I have the government allows me free, you know, the freedom to buy what I want to buy. So, you know, we're blessed, man. And ride the bike. The end of the day, to bring this all back to like why I started this channel, why I started the podcast, why you and I get along and why we talk. At the end of the day, I just want people to ride bikes and have fun. And I think that the where your bike is made debate gets in the way and confuses what this is all about, man. Get on your bike, pedal it, and everyone's going to have the same amount of fun, dude. You know what I mean? Let's just get on our bikes. Let's just ride them. Let's not debate over who makes the best bike or whose bike is the best quality. Because at the end of the day, I'm rating my experience by how the memories I take with me when I go home. And that's not relied upon, you know, when it comes to where the bike was made. So have fun on your bikes, man. That's all I really care about. Ride your Geronimo, ride your Bassett, ride your Craig Turner, ride your SE, ride your GT, ride your Skyway TA with the weird teardrop, you know, tubing. But that, dude, it's just so basic, dude. And I think we all lose track of that so quickly when we just want to, you know, get in a debate because we have pride over our bikes. And dude, we had pride over our bikes when we were kids too, man. I remember I bled Haro and my best friend bled Dino, but you know what? We rode every goddamn day, dude, you know, having fun on.
And it was really easy. If you wanted to talk shit when we were a kid, you did it right to someone's face and you were, you know, it's like, obviously.
Yeah, you got punched in the nose.
We're here with social media and we can post pictures and comments and sit in a room and, you know, talk shit and whatever. I'm not going down that road, but
right.
I posted a picture today on Instagram and I only, usually I come up with a semi clever caption, nothing, you know, super entertaining or anything, but my caption today was get on your bike, go ride your bike, something like that. Just left it simple. That's what it's all about, bro. That's grassroots. That's where it all started. Just get on your damn bike, you know, quick.
You and me both, man.
Quit arguing about this or that, you know, if you're doing that, you're not out riding. Let's go have fun.
I think we forget too, that man, we're all friends. You know what I mean? Like that's the thing, dude. Like everyone, like you jump on a forum, man. And people just like, all of a sudden we forget that we all like to ride bikes, dude. It's a trip, right?
It totally is, bro.
Cause like here's the thing.
Pull back the reins, man. I mean,
Here's the thing, dude. You hop on a forum and it's like, I go there and I'm like, someone's going to be fighting about something. Now you put those two dudes at the AMPM on the corner across from my house, two dudes pull up on bikes. I swear to God, those dudes are not going to argue about their bikes. No. They're going to sit down and talk and find out, like you and I did, how long you had, what are the bikes you have? What bikes did you have growing up? You got a bike. I got a bike. Like, you know, who's your favorite rider when you were a kid? Where do you ride now? All that stuff, dude. You're going to walk away. You're going to change numbers. You're going to want to ride with that person. But man, something happens when we get on Facebook that just ruins it. You know what I mean? We just turn into dicks, all of us.
It does, bro. But, you know, it really just takes away from what the root of all this is about. And I'm just going to say it again. It's about the bikes. It's about being happy, getting stoked, going out and getting rad, getting pepperonis, wrecking, making the trick, not making it, smiling, meeting friends, you fill in whatever happy, good, feel good things that you want to fill it in with. And that's what this is about.
Exactly. I'm not thinking about my day. I'm not thinking about my bills. I'm not thinking about the roof I need to get fixed. Not thinking about the leaves in my pool. I'm not thinking about any of that stuff, man. I'm just thinking about, man, I really hope I land this trick. I hope I don't fall over this wheelie. I hope no one sees it if I do. You know, like all that stuff.
Exactly.
I hope when I get up, all my bones are in the right spot, you know, that kind of thing. That's what concerns me. Not necessarily where my bike was made. So anyway, perfect. great question. Great topic tonight. I had a blast, dude. This was fun.
I had a lot of fun. I just want to give a shout out. And, you know, I would love to do more of these. I'd love to get more people. If you guys want to, you know, have us continue doing this, maybe I'll ask again, to give us some questions, to give us some feedback and some comments on anything you want to talk about. Isaac and I don't know everything, man. We're just two guys just forgetting that we have a microphone in front of us. And we're just chatting back and forth, bro.
100%.
And if you guys want to do this again, you know, and you don't mind us reading out your comment and your names, man, we'd love to do it. Keep going on with this. You know, we may not have all the answers, but we may be able to either find them or give you guys our opinions on something. And that's really what this is. This is Isaac and I being vocal and sharing with you guys our opinions. Are we always right? Hell no. But we are allowed an opinion and we have fun talking. So that's what we do.
Yeah. 100%, dude. And if you're upset that I said your name, please don't sue me.
Sue me either. But no, man, we really... check it out.
Shout blame out Todd. Everyone. We'll just blame Todd. There you go.
Well, Todd. Be careful. Todd responds. Blame.
Blame. Trust me, you guys careful when you blame Todd for stuff, because he will he'll post it. Ask me how I know.
You think Isaac Burns? Todd Burns, bro. Be careful. But shout out to everyone that commented on the Facebook page. Shout out to everybody that came up with such, you know, intriguing questions, and even, you know, just gave Isaac and I a laugh, or made us think a little bit deeper than we have on certain subjects, because they were all good, man. We appreciate all you guys out there for doing that.
100%. I'm going to drop some quick news updates that I know about. Drop anything that I forget that you've seen. Ride Out Supply is doing a contest right now. Something about, you buy a number plate, you can win a bike. Is that right?
That is correct, man. Here's what you got to do. You got to buy a Public Enemy race plate that's available on Ride Out Supply's website. And just by doing that, dude, just by getting the race plate, you've now entered yourself into winning a SE Racing Public Enemy Big Ripper.
Beast mode. It's a beast mode.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a... I think
I was wrong.
Yeah, it's a public beast mode or something like that, or a beast mode enemy, or
win a bike, guys. Go win yourselves a bike.
It's a bike. Yeah,
race plate.
Yeah, for a plate. Yeah,
yeah. Dude, hey, so check it out. I got that Public Enemy race plate, right?
Yeah.
Just alone, even if you just get the race plate, it's sick. I love that race plate. I love Public Enemy, and it's hanging in my garage, bro. Yeah. So now
you have a number plate addiction anyway. So you guys, if you have number plates, send them to Craig, because he has an addiction. Much like my addiction to jerseys, Craig is addicted to number plates. We should talk about that one day. I don't know. No. Does everyone know that you have addiction to plates?
Only the people at the meetings I attend.
Okay. Which is like bike swap meets. here we go. Backstory. You know, Craig is, he goes, man, I'm going to an old school like meetup. And I'm like, dope, dude, get me some Peregrine bars. I swear to God. I was like, get me some Peregrine bars. And he's like, what's your budget? And I was like, I don't know, man, just get me some Peregrine bars if you see him. He's like, okay. So then he hits me up because we text all day. He hits me up later on that Saturday. He's like, dude, it was so much fun. I was like, did you get me some bars? He goes, no, but I got myself, you got a number plate and you got some like OG Haro numbers. You're like, I got a 6. And I think I like a 2. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, original stickers, dude. Like, I was like, good for you. Thanks a lot for the bars, Dick. Hey, but they weren't there.
The bars weren't there. So I had to look out for myself after that. Yeah. I got the race plate and the decal.
Dude, I'm dying for a pair of Peregrine bars. I even have Homan, dude, like from 4130, like Chris Homan. Like Holman's out there, like, dude, I'm like, if you're ever at the pedal power, like bike swap meets, I'm like, bro, just if you see some Peregrines, hit me up. He's like, I got you, dog. I love that guy.
Shout out Holman.
So other news, LJ and Ride Out Supply, LJ and Maddie have opened up sticker kits again, and they are officially licensed. So I don't know that people understand this, but before, if you were to ask for a PK Ripper, for example, sticker kit, LJ would politely let you know that they can't make officially licensed SE kits, but they could do some like a play on words.
Right.
Like a Phoenix Ripper or something like that. Well, they have the licensing from SE, so they can officially make them. The minute sticker kits were open, I ordered one for my big flyer, and I just posted a video of me applying the sticker kit to my big flyer. And I got the new pink color that they have, dude. And it is sick. They have a pink colorway now, a pink vinyl that is dope. And I also got a purple PK Ripper reflective sticker kit. So hit up Ride Out Supply if you want some new, you don't need to get a new bike, man. Sometimes just getting new stickers refreshes it and makes it just look fun again. So that's some news that, that you may not be aware of if you don't follow it closely, but sticker kits.
Awesome. And check it out. If you guys are like me and you're really into old school BMX and anything that's related to back in the day and BMX, you are going to want to go check out Etnies for their new line of rad gear. When I'm saying rad, not that it just looks cool, we're talking about the 1986 movie Rad. So they've got a whole new merch line. That kind of
they have a Crew Jones jersey. They have a Bart jersey. Dude, that, do you see the t-shirt where it's like the, where like Crew's wearing like the paperboy, his paper, like it's that scene. Oh, dude. Etnies slayed it with that rad stuff. You guys go to Etnies.
You guys want to go check out etnies.com and get into their merch section and check that,
I think you go to collections and then you go to rad. I think it's collections and then rad.
Etnies, collections and rad. So Isaac just said it. Yeah. Go check out Etnies, get yourself some merch, pick up some shoes and get stoked.
Yep. RL Osborne has some new Ring of Fire shirts. So you can, if you hit up rlosborne.com, you can pick up his Ring of Fire shirts. Super dope. It's like an artist rendering. I forget his name, dude. I feel it's horrible. But RL's friend that is a graphic artist drew the picture.
His name is Sean, right?
It's not Sean, dude. No, it's not
Sean. I'm sorry. I don't want to say
Shay.
It's not
Shay.
Shay Snow.
Shay Snow. That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, guys go out there, check it out, man. RL doesn't pay us. We're not in it for anything, but other than we
support. No, you got, I'm just telling you like the new stuff that I found.
Yeah, no, because I'm like, hey, dude, his stuff's rad. The merch is rad. The artistry is rad on there. Go get yourself some. If you guys love old school BMX, and if you know who RL is and been watching what he's doing, not just back in the day, but what he's doing today, go get yourself some. The hoodies are super quality. The shirts are dope. He's got beanies, sticker packs, all that. Same with Mike Buff at MikeBuff.com. You guys go scoop up his merch, man. Limited runs. You may not see this stuff again. So get it while it's hot.
Yep. I'm looking up real quick because there's a new Instagram you need to follow. Hold on.
You got this teed up already?
I didn't, dude. I should have.
Come on, Isaac.
I know.
Damn. How can you do that dead heiress like that, dude?
It's because I can't do two things at once.
While Isaac's doing that, if you guys, check it out, bro. Another big merch drop. Obviously, Night Bike is always putting out new announcements, new merch. Did you see their anodized orange lineup? That orange,
dude, is so
dope. Fire. It's fire. It is. So, I mean, I think there's a color option for everybody out there. If you want pink, green, red, black, and whatever you want, Knight is really coming out strong with all of their new colorways. And, that's another thing you want to get when it's announced, when it's hot, keep your eyes open and keep your, add them to your favorites on your social media. Cause when they say that it's going to hit the website, you've got limited time to get your merch and get your parts and whatever else you want from Knight, because that stuff sells out so fast.
Phoenix
Bike Company gets pretty good hauls of parts and stuff, but they sell out of the most popular stuff pretty damn fast. So if you guys are looking for anything as far as bike parts from Knight, and you can't find it on Knight's website, hit up Phoenix Bike Company. Go talk, even just give Sean a call and say what's up. If you got bike questions or need some help with some tech stuff, man, Sean is the man down in Phoenix.
Okay, here it is. The new Instagram for Gary Turner BMX is Gary Turner BMX. No spaces, no underscore. I think Craig posted it and he's like, hey, we moved. And he was talking about their new Instagram. So follow that for the American GT stuff.
Awesome.
Super cool. Yeah, that's an account you need to follow. Is that all the news, dude? Is there anything else you can think of that happened this week?
No, that sounds like it's a good.
I think the girls, Leslie, Irie BMX, Long Beach BMX girl, and Cakes Surfs Cali announced their all girl ride out recently. So I don't know. Is that happening?
Yeah. So if you guys want to attend, I should say, if you gals want to attend, because
it's because no boys,
dude, no boys allowed, bro.
Yeah. So shout out to the ladies of Big Bike BMX World for doing that, dude. We talked about it on the show and they went for it, dude. And I'm pretty stoked about that. So make sure you follow them. You'll find the info for that send your lady friends out there to hang out with some of the cool chicks and get some BMX on. So, all right, man, I think we're going to wrap, dude. I appreciate you hanging out. Thanks for calling me up saying, hey, do this podcast tonight. Cause I'm stoked, man. This was a good break from the day. And, you know, people that are leaving comments and stuff like that, we appreciate the questions. I appreciate every like, I appreciate every, you know, reply, all that stuff, man. We love you guys. I'm so stoked, dude. I'm so blessed. I'm so stoked. Here we are almost a year after we started, dude, and we're still doing this, and I'm really psyched about that.
I'm just amazed you're not as sick as me as you let out of the bag, dude. Can I still hang out for this year? Do you think and you know what? I got off my probation, so I think I might have tenure a little bit, right?
You're kind of like common law at this point, dude. I mean, in the podcast world, it's like you're common law. So yeah, why not? Okay. Yeah, dude. Tease who's coming out, who we can listen to Monday.
Man. That, dude. You know what, that it's going to be awesome, guys. If you've hung out this long, you know, I'm going to get a little bit closer to the mic because not everybody gets to this point of our podcast. Okay,
dude, check here we go. Ready? You're flirting with disaster right now.
You're flirting with disaster. You may want to turn on some metal, get out your purple leathers and your studs and, get ready for a guest that we have that really knows how to throw the hook'em horns up. Right.
He's a slayer.
Oh, good one, bro. Good one. Yeah. I like it, man. Check it out. You guys are going to want to keep an eye. If you're listening to this tonight, which is the 18th, right? Yeah. You're going to want to check out my Instagram later this evening and my Facebook, because I'm actually going to post the picture of who's going to be on our show Monday. Should we just get a dude? We're right at the end, man. Do you think anybody's even hanging out here?
My mom, your mom. That's it, dude. Our parents. My wife has already dipped out, I promise you.
I was like, don't be talking about my mama, dude. No,
dude. Give it away. Just tell her.
All right, guys, check it out, bro. If you have hung out with Isaac this long, you are a true fan, and I want to reward you for that. I want to give you something that nobody else gets, man. Because if you've put up with Isaac and I for an hour and a half or so, then I want to tell you, Monday, this coming up Monday, at 6 p.m. Pacific on Big Bike BMX on YouTube, Isaac and I sit down with none other than the master of disaster, the king of the kick turn, CW Freestyle's own Diz Hicks. What? Yes, I said it. Isaac, repeat it. What did I say?
You said Diz Hicks. Dude, what is it? John? It's John, right? What's his first name? John? John Diz Hicks?
Sure.
Diz Hicks. I don't even, dude, it's Diz, dude. I don't even know his first name.
We're not going by first names here, bro. We're announcing Diz Hicks, 2019 Hall of Fame inductee, Diz Hicks. You guys know who he is. He's going to be on the show on Monday.
You guys, he was as much fun to chat with, dude, that you think he would be. He was, Diz is Diz. You know what I mean? Like everything, this is where people are like, everything you think you know about Diz Hicks, wrong. No, everything you think about Diz Hicks, 100% spot on. And he is still Diz. He's still right. Diz Hicks.
Do I still need a whisper?
Or no, can I move? No.
Okay, check it out. You guys, here's your homework. Isaac tells me this shit all the time. Here's your homework. I want you to go on YouTube. Now that you know Diz Hicks and everything that you know about Diz from the past, one thing I would say that's going to bring this, like, it could bring, we could have tears on this show too. Go and watch Diz's 2019 BMX Hall of Fame induction speech. I'm not saying you have to take notes or memorize anything he says. Just do that. And so something during our show, during our episode, it's going to really hit home if you watch that. So that's all I'm going to say, Isaac. I'm not letting any more out of the bag. I'm tired of your peer pressure. You always make me do things that I'm not necessarily sure I want to do, but I love you, dude. And I'm glad to be doing this with you, but damn it, the peer pressure just gets me every time.
You're not my real dad. Dude, sickest burn ever, dude. That was like, you're not my real mom. Oh man, dude. All right, you guys, have fun. Go ride your bikes. thanks for listening. I bottom of my heart, man, I appreciate everybody that if you stuck this far, you know, I love you. If you stuck around for 5 minutes, I still love you. But you know, thanks for riding bikes. Thanks for hanging out, listening and talking about bikes with us all day on social media. We love you for it. I love talking about bikes. Craig loves talking about bikes. And you know, we'll still be here. We're going to keep doing this because it's fun, and hopefully it gives you a bit of an escape and a walk down memory lane, and you know, chit chatting with a bunch of friends, talking about bikes. What can go wrong? It's awesome. So, you know, shout out to our sponsors. Thank you for supporting us: Old Bone Therapy, Etnies, Ride Out Supply, Phoenix Bike Company, Knight Bike Company, JT Racing, Crush BMX. Everybody that you know listens to us, supports us, hangs out. Did I miss anybody?
You didn't. Good job, bud.
Thanks, dude. That was off the top of my mind. I've been punching that a lot.
You didn't see me, but I was counting with my fingers each one as you named them. Dude, I feel the same, man. You guys know the drill. You watch a show, you hang out with us at the podcast, and we love you guys for it, man. I'm just going to say it just like that. I'm not going to get long-winded, but thanks for hanging out with us.
We're 2 hours in. We're not going to get long-winded.
We're not going to get long-winded here at the end of 2 hours. Thanks for hanging out. We'll see you on the next one.
Do we need to get you to do like a radio outro soon?